Trinity seems to be a church where God's like, be bold. And the pastors are awesome and the congregation's awesome because they've received that. The second time I was ever at this church, God said, like, play a song that you had written on the piano. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not taking over the service. But then David's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So I ask again for your grace for boldness. Because as we were doing worship, I just felt like I was to pray about something specific. And I don't know if any of you feel this way, but sometimes, or many times in my life when I've been in a church, I can feel like I don't belong in the church. And I can feel very uncomfortable. And then my mind is very distracted, and I don't have peace. And I kind of just want it to be over quicker than it starts. And that sounds funny because I'm standing up here sharing with you. But before we start, I just want to pray for you so that your heart can receive whatever it is God wants you to receive from what I am going to say today. And yeah, so I'm just going to pray for you. A whole lot of prayer happening, but prayer is good and powerful. So God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the sunshine, and I thank you for all the moms, and I thank you for life, and that you are powerful, and I thank you for restoration. And God, as you were pressing on my heart this morning, I just pray right now that if anybody just feels like they don't belong, or they feel uncomfortable, or just kind of like a separated spirit, like an orphan spirit, we just break that off right now in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that it says in your word that you have given us a spirit of sonship, a spirit of daughtership, that you have adopted us and called us your own. And right now, let us receive that we belong because you have made us a valuable and important part of your body. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the story that I have to share today is not a light and fluffy one, but it is a good one. And I love sharing because it reminds me of how good God is and what he has done. So, let me share. I grew up to a 15-year-old single mom. So she had me when she was 15. And that's hard all in and of itself. I am 30 now, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I can be a mom, and that's double 15. So she had me, she wanted to love me to the best of her ability. And in her 20s, she ended up getting into prostitution. She suffered a lot of abuse as a child. There's a lot of emotional damage that had been done, a lot of abusive relationships as she was growing up, and found her way into this industry. And in that industry then came along addictions, alcohol and drugs. I remember times I felt a lot like I had to be the mom and like I had to take responsibility and help her. So there are times when she would come home drunk or high and I would sit in the bathroom with her and I'd hold her hair up as she threw up in the toilet and I'd help her take her boots off. And I put her to bed. So a lot of my childhood, I felt, was taken away. Because it was so chaotic. It wasn't that my mom was bringing clients into the house. But it was that the space that she was in her addictions and her brokenness and her hurt, she was the head of the household and she was doing it all on her own. So of course that's going to affect all of her kids. So I grew up feeling very neglected. There's some emotional abuse just from pain and how we speak to each other when we don't have healing. I felt very alone. And then just as I was praying over you before I started, I kind of felt like an orphan. I wanted to have a really close relationship with my mom. And of course I looked up to her. But then there was always this disconnect. She couldn't be available to me as I desired in my child heart for her to be. And she wasn't a safe place because of all the storms and hurt and brokenness that was going on in her. So I did feel very alone and like an orphan. Now, a lot of people ask me the question, Like, how did you find out your mom was in prostitution? Like, how does that work? And a lot of my childhood, if I'm honest, is blurry as well. Like, I remember painful parts, but then I also, a lot of it's kind of blurry and gray. So what I remember of that is there was just one night where she was talking to a boyfriend of hers, and I was supposed to be sleeping, but I couldn't fall asleep, and I just overheard a conversation. And I overheard her talking about a client. And at this time, I had thought that she said she worked and did nails for a living, that she worked in like a fancy spa. But then hearing this conversation, not really understanding what it meant, I knew something was different. I had found out something different, and I also knew that she had lied to me. And I don't really know how I can tell you that fully affected me, but I guess fear, like it brought fear and just confusion and not really understanding. And then it also brought a heavy burden to carry. So growing up, you know, like take your kids to work day or what does your mom do? That's a very general question. And then with shame, I would say she does nails or like she's a massage therapist. And where does she work? I don't remember. I don't know. Because I just didn't know what to say. And that was a really big responsibility. And then also to feel shame that the way that my mom took care of me and supported me and all the things she bought for me came from her letting herself be abused. That was just so heartbreaking to me. And then at the same time, too, I didn't want to shame my mom. I also didn't know I would love to have talked to people and maybe share so that they could pray. Eventually I did, but at first really it was just like I didn't even want to share because I didn't want her to feel shame that I told somebody and then judge her. Because it's not your common thing often that you have happening in your life. So God is amazing. And at age 13, I decided to give my life to him, to say that he could be the Lord of my life, to know that he was good. An interesting part of my testimony in coming to God is that I actually believed growing up that I needed to be good enough. Somebody had spoken to me and said that you need to be good enough in order to let God be the Lord of your life. First, you need to be good. So that stuck with me. And there were times, this is crazy, that I actually would pray as a young girl, Jesus, don't come into my life yet because I'm not good enough. I can't do it. That's so insane. So I was at a church and he spoke directly to that without even knowing and it said, you don't need to leave here perfect. You just need to start letting God be the Lord of your life. Build relationship with him. Come to know him and let him change the things in you as you continue to walk. So as soon as I started to walk in that relationship with God, then I knew that I wanted my mom to know God. And I wanted her out of that industry, and I wanted her healed and well, because I loved her so deeply. And I saw how much this was breaking her and destroying her. And it really was hell to watch. So I started praying. And the interesting thing is I had no idea when I started praying what God would do, how he would get her out of such a thing, because this is her income. And she doesn't really have a massive resume to get another job. And there's four of us. So there was fear as I was praying too of like, God, I have no idea how you're even going to work this out and but I'm going to trust that you want to heal her, that you want to restore her, and I'm just going to pray. And it wasn't like praying like, oh, I said a nice prayer one night and then the next day my mom was out of the business. No, it was praying for, I always forget the amount of years, but it was 10 years. Praying and praying and praying. And times of prayer where I would be so mad and be like, God, you're all powerful. Don't you love her? What are you doing? Why can't you just save her? Where are you? And kind of that praying that you're like hitting the ground angry, but then you're still trusting that he's going to do something and you just got to hold on to the little pieces of faith that you have. And I followed his lead in being a new Christian, being in a house that was the only one that was really following God. They told me that I lived in a fairy tale, that I was going to know that it wasn't true, that I was potentially in a cult. But I'd sit in my room and I'd worship and I'd pray. I had to pray a lot, guys, because it was not easy loving my family. The amazing thing is that my mom remembers the love that I showed her. But here I am in my room being like, God, help me love my family. Because they were harsh and they could be mean and say things. And my mom wasn't a safe place. So it was really hard for me to interact with her with my sensitive heart. But she remembers I would leave Bible verses on her door. A lot of things she remembers, I don't even remember either. So that must have not been my doing. I would leave Bible verses. I would tell her that God loved her. I would write her notes. I would pray for her. I would invite her to church when I was singing, because that was an easy way to get her to come. Recommend books and just continue to love her and love her and love her. Not out of my own strength, but out of God's strength. Because I'm telling you, I know many of you don't know me personally, and everybody can say, you're so nice and you're so, think all those lovely things, thank you. But it was not easy. It was not easy to love her as she was going through this. So I get saved at 13. And then I get sexually abused at 14 by one of her boyfriends. Now, that in and of itself is traumatic and very damaging. But it also caused a very big rift between us. Because in my mom's mind, this was someone she was going to be with for the rest of her life. She was going to build a family with them. They were also helping support her. And I was coming in between that. Because her mind wasn't thinking clearly. She was still in prostitution. She was still in her own fear and own brokenness. And all she saw was that her idea of what her life was going to be was being ripped apart. And if I wasn't there, then maybe that wouldn't have happened. So I kind of had to fumble through the trauma of it all. God has brought a lot of healing in that and set me free from shame. But then also we had this like awkward tension happening. Already it was hard to have a relationship because of all the brokenness. But then there's this unspoken thing that we don't really speak about. And I just feel like my mom looks at me like I disappointed her. And just all this shame kind of compiling together. So I still just continued to pray, did counseling, sought God, and I went off to Bible college for 1 year. My mom drove me out to Saskatchewan. Thanks, Mom. And while I was in Saskatchewan, I met a woman, because they'd have chapel every morning, and she shared her testimony in a woman's chapel that I went to. And she shared that she was a prostitute. And now she was in Bible college, and she was wanting to be a pastor. And after she spoke, I went directly up to her, and I said, you need to start praying for my mother. And she became like my Saskatchewan mom. We hung out, and we started talking. It was amazing to get to know her. And she said, thank you so much for encouraging me, because I actually had people come up to me after I shared my testimony and kind of shame me. Like, how could you share that on a Sunday chapel? And I was like, don't listen to them. So she started praying for my mom. And I gave her my mom's number. And they exchanged numbers. And I think throughout the time, they talked a little bit here and there. And then one day, I would call sitting on the payphone in the hallway in Bible college, talk to my family. And my mom said, I left the business. I have been praying for this for 10 years. It was kind of like the surreal moment of what? Can you repeat that? Or like, what does this mean? Or how did this happen? So many questions. But it is one of the biggest miracles that I can stand on strong. Like, I was believing with little grains of salt that it would happen. But I was like, I don't know how it's going to happen. And it did. That's what my butterfly tattoo is all about. That's the testimony of my mom. So she said, I left the business, and I don't know, was I the second person you told, or somebody the first person you told. Well, thank you. Because I was so excited and it was so unbelievable. All the prayer, it was amazing. But also, as life is, from there, it's not that she instantly came to God and was saved and all restored and everything was good. Trauma causes damage, and God is powerful and heals that. But sometimes we also need to walk it out. So I think that it was potentially a year later, 3 years later. Thank you. You should just be standing beside me. 3 years after my mom left the business, it took her to come to God. All the prayers stacking up. She even came to Saskatchewan to visit me and got a tattoo of grace on her neck. She said, I just feel like God's giving me grace. All these things. I remember things like I would be like, Mom, do you want to read through the Bible together? These must have been God things because I don't even know like what. And let's read through a book of the Bible together and just talk about it. And she had a lot of head knowledge because when we talked about it, I was like, wow, that's a really amazing answer. But it was her heart that needed to know that God was not like everybody who hurt her and abused her and wasn't an evil man in the sky who let all these things happen because he didn't love her, but her heart needed to know him. So, second best phone call, I guess. She called and she said that she gave her life to God. I was like, whoa, God, you got her out of the industry. That's a miracle in and of itself. I had no idea how that would happen. Then I get another phone call. I gave my life to God. And I was super excited. And she's a public speaker and she shares that. Everybody was like, oh my goodness, that's exciting. And she was like, why is everybody freaking out? Like, I don't know what's going on. So that was the answer to all of my prayers. She's out of the business and she's saved. But I had these simple prayers. I just saw what needed to be done. And God is so cool because he also knows our hearts and our desires. And he has so much more than we would even think. So I just prayed, God, please get her out of this industry because it's destroying her. I want her healing. And let her come to know you. And God said, yeah. But he also said, I have also a bigger plan than you realize. Now my mom has an organization called Rising Angels, where she does public speaking. She educates about prostitution. She's spoken to police forces, in schools, in churches, all over. And she also is mentoring some women, trying to help them work through leaving the industry, because she understands what it's like coming out of that. I didn't pray for that. God had a good idea. I would have never, ever thought that she would be doing that because there was so much shame attached to it. And now she shares openly because she has a different identity. That's not her identity. God is in the restoring business. And what the enemy has planned for shame, God turns it around, showing his unbelievable power. And the tattoos that I have, I get in visible places because they're testimonies of my life. And the butterfly is the first one that I got. I wanted to honor my mom and let her know that I just loved her and wanted to share about her. Just kind of the heart of wanting to outwardly let God continue to restore our relationship, that I just love her. And people ask me, oh, do you really like butterflies? And I say, no, not really. And then they look at me like I'm kind of strange. My mom loves butterflies, and butterflies, as many of you know, represent like a new birth and a healing, restoration, life. So I'll share, and I say, yeah, my mom used to be in prostitution, and I prayed for her for years, and now she's not. And God has restored her life, and she's doing so well, and God has restored our relationship. And I just love sharing it like that. And also, the biggest part for me, it's a testimony to me, too. when I go through things that seem so hard and so dark and so long, I can look at my tattoo and remember that felt horrible, waiting, that waiting period. But nobody is ever, ever too far gone. My mom is just one story of not too far gone. There's stories in the Bible of not too far gone. If we listen to the people in their in our lives around us, there's stories of not too far gone. So no, if you're sitting here and you think, oh my goodness, I've done this or done that. Jesus didn't say, like, I can only save you if you haven't done these things. No, he said he's come for everybody. So nobody is too far gone. Now, I don't know, I hope I painted a good picture, but I always say that I wish I could just have a snapshot, like for a moment, that people could have seen my mom previously and then see her now. Because I can tell you, and you can get pieces of it, but to feel the difference or know the difference, it's not the same. Throughout our relationship, how it was so hard and it was so broken because Mom was so broken, and we were trying to figure out how to love each other, and we both really wanted to love each other, but there was so much stuff in between that was getting in the way. So in that, I think both of us have said really hurtful things to each other. And what sticks out of my mind is, oh, don't cry. One time, my mom reminded me that I had said to her, I never want to be like you. Out of my pain, out of how she hurt me so much, and just wanting to retaliate, I was just like, I never want to be a woman like you. And I remember that, and I remembered it as I was writing this. But the amazing thing is God is so good, because now I can look at her and say, Mom, you're amazing. I'm your biggest cheerleader, and the fierceness that I have is from you. And I just, whenever I see her speak, whenever I look at her, I just am so proud of her. And it's not that you're perfect now. I love you. It's not that I'm perfect now. It's a deep love that God has given me for her. He's given it to me all throughout, but at the same time, he has restored our relationship in amazing ways. It, like, brings joy to my soul to think about it. Because once Mom had left the industry and then she came to know God, we had a spirit connection. And I felt like I got a mom. That I finally was not motherless. That I had a mom again. And I don't even know. That's something that I couldn't even imagine. But that is awesome. So I'm so proud of my mom. And if you think of my mom and you think of us throughout your days, keep praying for her, because she has her own battles to fight. She still struggles with anxiety, but she's a warrior and she's pressing forward and she's seeking out to help other women as well. So I want to encourage all you women, all you moms, maybe you're not physical moms, but you can be spiritual moms. Let yourself rise up into the warrior women that God has made you. A good book, Lioness Arising, if you haven't read that by Lisa Bevere, read that. Because he has made you fierce in whatever way that looks like. It doesn't have to be loud, but he has made you fierce and bold. So, yeah, it was my joy to just share with you that God is good. And this week, or last week, I was praying for a family member who is still very struggling. It is my sister. She's really struggling a lot. And me and my mom are holding her up in prayer. And I'm believing that there's a domino effect. I came to Jesus. My mom came to Jesus. And my sister is next. As I was praying, the word omnipotent came into my head. I was like, this sounds very archaic. What is this word? I think it has something to do with God. And I looked it up. And it said, all powerful, able to do anything. And I just want to encourage all of you, let that sit and let that simmer. And where we have started to believe that God is not hearing us or not powerful, let that break off of you. God is all powerful, able to do anything, even when you have no idea how he's going to do it. He is able to do it. So you put your warrior boots on and you pray. And you don't have to pray alone. Have people intercede and pray with you. But fight for the people that you love in prayer, because it is a battle. But God is good and God is faithful. And open your hands and your heart to receive what he has, because it's far bigger than what you could even imagine. And just have faith in that. Not that there won't be times when you're angry at him and yelling or trying to figure out his plan, but just press in and seek him and ask him for help and strength. If there's people in your life you can't love because they're really rude or hard to love or mean to you, ask God to give you love for them. That's what I had to do. If there are things you feel you have no strength to get through, ask God for strength. Let's stop doing it in our own strength, in our own will, in our own ability. That's just too small. But we have a God who is all-powerful. So lean on him. Press into him. So this is what I'm most excited for. I loved sharing my story, but I also, God has blessed me with song and music, and I love singing. And I had written a song for my mom. And when I write things, I really just think it's God, because I get excited about my own songs. And I'm like, this is such a good song. So I don't think it's my own. I think that God gave it to me to bless my mom and for my mom. And lovely Lindsay is going to come and play. And I'm just going to share. And basically, it's my mom's testimony and our relationship in song form. So I just pray that you would be blessed and that you would receive whatever it is that you are to receive from it.